This is a glorious time of year. As I walk through the neighborhood, I marvel at the beauty I see. Trees and shrubs in full bloom, leaves starting to appear, grass growing greener. The sublime beauty of God's creation is on full display, the rebirth of this season in full evidence. And so I find it fitting that in today's gospel, Jesus reminds us of the interconnectedness of creation. He teaches his disciples that he is the vine and his followers are the branches, that God the Father is the vine grower, giving growth to all things. We are the branches attached to the vine who is Jesus. We are each of us one of many branches, and we live in a great web of connection with God, one another, and the whole creation. The branches can live only because life flows from the vine into them. When cut off from the vine, they wither and die. Jesus calls this abiding. As he abides in the Father, so we abide in him. The life, the very life that the Father and Jesus share, dwells also within us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In the abiding Spirit, we are connected with God and with all of humanity. In Jesus, we are called into community, into relationship with God, with one another, and with creation. God the vine grower prunes away branches that do not bear fruit. Now this sounds harsh, but long ago I learned that without regular pruning, plants don't do well. They become leggy. They are unable to support that weak growth. Without regular pruning, so many plants will literally fall over under their own weight. The hard pruning of a plant allows it to generate strong new growth. It allows growth that is compact and sturdy, that has real strength to it. This produces not just a healthier plant, but it also allows flowering and bearing fruit. It allows the plant to reach its full potential. Just as it is with plants, so it is too with us in our lives. There are times when pruning is needed, when things in our lives have grown old and stale, they need to be stripped away. Behaviors not bringing us life need to be given up. If we are not thriving, it is time for adjustment. Though it can be very challenging to do this, these acts of pruning allow us to grow and to bloom, to come into our full potential. Pruning is essential in our lives, including in our spiritual lives. This pandemic time has been difficult and painful in so many ways. There is so much loss and grief. There still is so much illness and suffering, especially right now in Latin America and in India. But at the same time, in this pandemic time, there has been opportunity. It has made so many of us aware of what is most important and what is not. In the many hours many of us have spent at home, there's been time for reflection. And that reflection has clarified priorities. I hear people talk regularly of how they now realize the ways that they spent their time before the pandemic didn't always reflect their values. Many now are asking, as we begin to come out of pandemic living, how those realizations, those lessons learned in the past year, can be carried into post-pandemic life. For many, there's a desire to not simply jump back into the way life was, but to be intentional, to shift our priorities based on what we have learned. I've heard in this parish people talk about a renewed understanding of the importance of the connection we have as a community, of how much we value and treasure our corporate life, perhaps more than ever, perhaps in ways we did not see before. As pandemic restrictions are relaxed and we start to engage in activities and practices that we have set aside for more than a year, there is for us an opportunity. This can be a time to articulate what we most value, what is most meaningful, to understand how we are connected to God and to one another. This is a time to discern where God is leading us, what practices from the past we are called to continue, but also what new things God is calling us to do. Following Jesus requires that we allow God to prune away the practices and behaviors that do not bear fruit in us. We're called to let go of anything that impedes deepening our relationship with God, with one another, with ourselves, and with creation. Just as the cross is central to the way of eternal life, so letting go through periodic pruning produces new, stronger growth in the vineyard of our lives. In today's first lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, we have a striking example of the pruning required for followers of the risen Jesus. This passage describes an encounter between Philip and an unnamed Ethiopian eunuch. According to the book of Acts, Philip is one of seven who are chosen to care for those in need. They become the first deacons. Several times in Acts, we hear how Philip serves as an evangelist, proclaiming the good news of the risen Jesus. And in today's passage, he does so with the Ethiopian eunuch. All we know of the Ethiopian eunuch is contained in today's reading. Though he's not given a name, what's clear is he is an important and trusted official in the court of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. In the ancient world, eunuchs often held positions of power in royal courts and served as administrators. Because they were unable to father children, they were considered safe to serve close to the ruler's family. The Ethiopian eunuch has been worshiping at the temple in Jerusalem. And what's interesting about this is that both as a eunuch and as a Gentile, he would be restricted where he could go in the temple. He couldn't gather in all places with the worshiping community. He was considered an outsider, not a full member of the people of Israel. According to the book of Deuteronomy, because they were unable to have children, eunuchs were cut off from the people. They were a people apart. In today's passage, when Philip comes upon the Ethiopian eunuch, he is reading from the 53rd chapter of the prophet Isaiah. This happens to be a passage that we read on Good Friday, and we interpret it as a prophecy of the suffering of Jesus on the cross. We see in this text Jesus, the one who is despised and rejected, the one who is cut off from the people. As Isaiah says, like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer. In reading this, the eunuch wonders about whom the prophet Isaiah speaks. And so in answer, Philip proclaims to the eunuch, Jesus crucified and raised from the dead. I wonder, did the Ethiopian eunuch feel some kind of kinship or some kind of resonance with Jesus, the one who is cut off, rejected by the people, just as the eunuch is cut off, and just as oppressed and marginalized people through the centuries have connected with Jesus and his cross? In reading this, was hope kindled in the eunuch that in Jesus he would not always be cut off from the people? In the book, Our Tribe, Queer Folks, God, Jesus, and the Bible, the Metropolitan Community Church elder, the Reverend Nancy Wilson, speculates that this might be so for the eunuch. Wilson observes that just after the passage in Isaiah that the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip are discussing, comes another passage offering hope. A few chapters later, in chapter 56, Isaiah offers an image of God's kingdom, where eunuchs will no longer be cut off, but be welcomed as part of God's people. In Isaiah's vision, eunuchs as well as Gentiles will be welcomed. They'll become part of the people. Isaiah says God's house will become a house of prayer for all people. After reading Isaiah and talking with Philip, the Gentile Ethiopian eunuch sees water and says, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" And so they go down into the water and Philip baptizes the eunuch. And then Philip is snatched away by the Spirit, leaving the Ethiopian eunuch alone. We don't know what happens to the eunuch after his baptism, but tradition says he goes back home to Ethiopia and begins the church there. This account of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch challenges our assumptions of who is acceptable and who is not, of who is welcome and who remains at the margins. This account in particular is seen by those of us who are part of LGBTQ Christian community as a hopeful text of inclusion, as a text that challenges systems of exclusion based on a person's identity. This story illustrates how the risen Jesus calls his followers to prune away our limited definitions of who is welcome. The eunuch was excluded both because he was a Gentile and a eunuch. He was not the right sort of person. In an age when we in our time see a dramatic rise in violence against the transgender community, especially against trans women of color, and when we see states increasingly passing laws that discriminate against the transgender community, this passage calls us to fight for justice for all people. It calls us to celebrate the rich and various ways that people understand themselves, their identities, who they are. I also think this account of the Ethiopian eunuch challenges the binaries that we use to structure our society and yet so often exclude people. It calls us to examine those and to dismantle them. Our world is structured by binaries like good and bad, right and wrong. We understand a person's identity as either male or female. We understand people as being gay or being straight. Often there's little room for nuance or diversity. Anyone who does not fit into one side of the binary or the other is excluded. Life in the risen Christ challenges our exclusive binaries. As Paul writes in his letter to the Galatians, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus." Paul is saying that in Jesus we are one. The binaries of exclusion and division are stripped away. In Christ, all have a new identity. All become one in Christ Jesus. The Ethiopian eunuch and Philip challenge us this day to be pruned, to allow God to cut away our reliance on restrictive definitions and binaries, on the narrow definitions that judge and exclude, and instead to embrace the marvelous complexity and diversity of human identity. The witness of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip challenges us to expand our welcome to all people, embracing the particular ways each person understands themselves to be a beloved child of God as they are. The risen Jesus bids us be pruned, letting God cut away our limited vision, that we might grow into seeing as God sees, that we might grow into embracing God's vision for creation, that we might move between simple binaries to embracing the full richness and diversity of God's wonderful creation. As a created world around us is clothed in new life this spring, may we remember our interconnectedness with all living things. As the Spirit of God breathes in us, may God's life flow in and through us. We are part of a vast relational web of life. with God abiding in us through the Holy Spirit and linking us with all of creation. Abiding in Jesus, connected as organically as the branch is to the vine, we find the fullness of resurrection life. Through our life in Christ, may God's broad, inclusive love well up in us, coming to flower an abundant life. Amen.